Amen. Thanks. All right. Everybody turn. You there, Matthew chapter 3. We are looking tonight at the baptism of Jesus. We've really been talking a lot about invitations and the significance of invitations, and we hit that real hard a couple weeks ago. We come in, and so often we either fail to recognize an invitation from God and what it looks like, or we deem it something that is a standing invitation, and if I don't accept it now, it'll be there tomorrow. And we found last week, as we studied the Luke 14 and the great feast that was prepared, that's not always the case. As I get in a closer relationship with God and really see what's happening right now, I'm really excited about this moment, really excited about this time with what God's doing. But I do believe that a lot of these invitations that God has for us do have a definite shelf life. And if we do not seize the moment and seize the opportunity, Nick, you are sitting on the edge of something at Harrelson County High School that you have a window of opportunity right now, and it is imperative that you seize the momentum that has been created and what God is stirring and doing in these kids' lives, and you seize it now. It's not a thing where you can come in and say, I know you're entering into football season and wrestling season, back-to-back, coaching those things. Everybody knows, or they may not, but extremely time-consuming and all of that. And the natural thing would be for you to say, man, I don't have time to put a huge emphasis on FCA. I'll catch it after wrestling season. You're going to miss a window of opportunity. So right now it is imperative, I feel like, for you to seize that. Church, with what God's doing in our midst right now, so significant for us to seize the opportunity and the invitation that God has extended us. You know, you guys, y'all have a shelf life. Y'all were coming in at the Blake House, and you're there. The first part of the program is a 10-month program. You've got 10 months of unique opportunity right there. And then you're either going to go to, I still call it SLT, but you're either going to go to the leadership aspect of it, or you're going to go back out into into the world where you came from and everything. And this unique opportunity is going to be gone. And so it is very important for us, because I promise you, as you go through this the initial 10 months, there are going to be so many invitations from God. You know, a lot of you guys accepted Christ and got saved a few weeks ago. Some of you guys got baptized. All these things are invitations. And God's going to come to you in places of intimacy and places of wanting to come in and say, you know, man, I want to commune with you, or I want to use you, or I want to do this or this. And you've got opportunity to say yes to those things. Or you've got opportunity to, you know, blow it off and be like, eh. I mean, y'all were here last Wednesday. Everybody get it, what we were talking about on that? I mean, that's, you know, that's just straight up. And that's Jesus talking about this. And we think it's going to loop right back around, and it might loop around, but it might be 5 years from now. All of us know that we've got unique windows of opportunity in raising our children, don't we? We grasp that real easy. We see them, and I got one shot at Caroline being 2. You know, I got one shot at Sydney Hannah being 5. And I get that in the natural, but all of these spiritual opportunities, they are unique in the time and the presentation and the weight that we can release into these things. So I really want to continue to look and talk about these invitations and how we respond to invitations. Tonight, I really want to focus on, as we say yes to these things in God, the spiritual shifts that take place. The spiritual shifts that take place, because I can see my life shifting like crazy right now. I mean, it is amazing how my life is just shifting on a vertical plane and a horizontal plane. It's blowing my mind. I listened to Christine Kane when we were in California a month or so ago, and she was powerful sermon that she preached, and she was talking about God's not doing the next thing, God's doing a new thing. And we always look and we say, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? You know, we want a good word in church. We come in and say, well, I hope Sid's got a good word. I hope Linda picked a good song list. And really we're coming in and we're saying, what's next? And God is so doing something new. And it's here right now. And that's what y'all are going to keep hearing me beating that drum. It is Beth. It's not something that's going to, you know, that I'm saying, oh, in 6 months, God's going to blow up. It's here right now. And it is available right now for you. It is available in this house. It is available for our nation. It is available for our community. And every part of me, every fiber of my being believes that it is here and is right. Quit praying for open heavens. It's here. Okay? You know, in reality, open heaven started when Jesus got baptized and the Holy Spirit, and the Word said that the heavens opened up, and then the veil of the temple was rent in two. I love what Bill Johnson says about that. He said, if God rent and opened the heavens, who on earth can suture it back together? So open heavens are always here. You know, it's just, are we willing to tap into this? Now, is this a fresh and a unique time where God is breathing on things? I believe that absolutely. I believe that God is doing something right now that He wasn't doing 3 years ago. I really believe that. And I'm not talking about just here or just in our life. I believe God is doing something globally right now that up to this point He has never done before. I think He's doing something new. He's doing something unique. And so I want us to, I just want to be a part of it. I don't have to lead it. I just want to be a part of it. I'm glad I got invited to the party. Dude, that's where I'm at. I'm just glad He's inviting me to the party. And so I say yes to that. So we're looking at Jesus as we think about these spiritual shifts. And God changes as things shift spiritually in our lives. A lot of you guys are hearing different than you heard 6 months ago. You're seeing different than you saw 6 months ago. God is speaking to you and through you differently than He was 6 months ago. That's these shifts, okay? And that's what I'm talking about, is recognizing these things and understanding that God is establishing new platforms for us. And it's not necessarily a thing that we're going from, you know, from here to come up to heaven like John and on the Isle of Patmos or anything like that. But there are different platforms that God is shifting us to, and it gives us different perspective. It gives us different proximity. We were in the hospital, I guess it was Monday, and Errol was having Kennedy, and Leah was in there taking pictures and all of that stuff, and she was looking and trying to figure a way to get elevated. And she was looking for different platforms to stand on. And, you know, and so she's kind of like, man, if I stand in this chair, I'm almost too short. I want to get on my tiptoes, and I want to get, because she was looking for something that was going to give her a different perspective on what was happening. She was looking for a different angle, but she was looking for something that would give her a different perspective. And these shifts that God is doing are moving us to different platforms that change our proximity, and they change our perspective. And in changing our proximity and changing our perspective, it releases new things into our life and causes us to release different stuff into the earth to change the world that's around us. That's one thing I'm really digging right now, is because God is really shifting me and Lori into prophetic stuff big time. I mean, it's just kind of like rocking my world, dude. I am not going to lie to you. Man, and we started asking for it a few months ago. You know, the Word tells us to pray for that and to ask for that. And so we have been actively, God, You just start releasing prophetic into us, and we'll be faithful to release it and all of that stuff. And God's been doing that. And I am more excited when I come in on a Sunday morning. And I always love to preach a good word and all that stuff. I mean, it's as a minister, it's very fulfilling when God gives you, I used to say insight, but I know that's a cheap imitation and pretty shallow. So I don't say insight anymore. When God gives us revelation, and we share that and we break that meat out, that's good. But when I can release the fresh word from heaven, the fresh manna from God for that moment, for exactly what's going to be happening, what God spoke to you and did in you Sunday morning, Anita, is way bigger than me coming in and preaching a great sermon out of Isaiah, and you walk away and say, man, that's a good sermon. And I'm more interested about God coming in and speaking a verbal word breathing that breath into us and on us than I am. Yeah, good teaching. We're about to do some good teaching in this. That comes with it. But I want that word that is spoken fresh from to hear something different. And God's really shifting us into that. And I'm digging that. I'm still processing what He said Sunday. And it's blowing up. And it's kind of like eating, you know, alligator or something. The more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. And it's kind of like that. And so I'm really stoked about that. But, and I could sit up here for hours and talk about the stuff that God's doing in me and Lori and shifting the way that we're hearing things and seeing things and all of that stuff. He woke me up real early, Tuesday morning to praying for Kennedy and for Ariel and all of that. And he just kept showing me the number 38. And I don't know if 38 means 3.8 or 38 or what it is and all that stuff. So I text Ariel about 6:30, her and Rhett. And I'm like, hey, this is what God's saying. Just keep your eye out for it and all of this stuff. And I'm loving that. I'm digging that because it is a different perspective. How many of you know that the sound right here is different than the sound back there? And when we change, God shifts us in our proximity. Not only does our perspective change, but the way we hear changes things. Because when your proximity shifts, then you hear whispers you couldn't hear earlier. Right? I've been bombarded. I love music. I always have. I've, bombarded myself with, all the 70s rock stuff for years and years and years and everything. And I worked in a machine shop, so I don't hear as good as I used to. So I have to turn everything up louder. So I have to get in closer proximity to hear whispers. We have so damaged our hearing by the loudness of the world in which we're assimilated ourselves to, that we have to get in closer proximity to hear the whispers. The guy that did the epidural on Ariel Tuesday morning, he talked so quiet, so low, and all that stuff, and you could barely hear him. And he was just real calming and all of that stuff. But, Ariel's sitting over there, and she's having contractions. He's like, dude, speak up. I can't hear you. Rhett was having to translate for her because he was closer to Rhett than he was her when he was talking and not putting the... Or perhaps Ariel was turned and he was at her back because he was putting a needle in her back. And when we're turned away from something, Jeremy, we don't hear it as well, do we? And so this shift not only changes our perspective, but it changes our proximity. And the proximity changes what we hear and how we hear it. Okay? So all of these things are huge. So we see these shifts taking place. Let's dive in and let's read some scripture. We're going to start in verse 13. I just threw out a couple things. How do we respond to invitations? Do we recognize these shifts after we say yes? Do we recognize these shifts after we say yes? How many of you women would say that your husbands get so tunnel vision and so focused on stuff that they're kind of dense, and then that you could be mad at them or upset about them with them about something, they don't even know it? Am I the only one? Lori will get upset at me about something, nothing major. I mean, you can tell when something, duh. But she can get upset with me about something, but I will be so, I don't recognize the shift. And sometimes the shift is simply a shift of posture. Y'all heard me talk about fly fishing and how a trout will stiffen. And if a trout stiffens, it will not feed. It's still in the same spot. It is still in that run. It is still sitting there, but it stiffens and it is no longer in feeding mode or feeding posture. It is in a place that I'm sitting here and I'm taking in oxygen, but nobody's going to trick me with a fly. Jeremy knows exactly. Scott, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Once that shift, that fish stiffens, you might as well move on because you will not catch it unless you get a snare hook out. You will not catch it unless you get a snare hook. And what we do is we come in and we do not recognize these shifts in heaven. We don't recognize these shifts in what God is doing. We don't recognize the shifts in the invitations. And therefore, we miss everything. I've been in the room and I grew up in a sea of, or I grew up in the last 30 years in a sea of estrogen with a wife and two daughters, and now I'm four granddaughters and all that. So I swim in that thing. There have been a lot of times when the girls' girlfriends or Lori's girlfriends, Jen and they'll be in there and they're talking all their female talk and all of that stuff. And everybody in there will be in tune on the right frequency, the estrogen frequency. And I don't get any of it. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I ain't got a clue and all that stuff. We do the same thing spiritually, guys. We do not recognize these shifts after we say yes. God wants to do something profound out of Sunday in your life, Anita. Ashley's not here. He wants to do something profound. God messed Ashley Broadstreet up down here Sunday morning. I don't know if you saw it. Wrecking that little girl. Totally digging it. And God wants to do something profound out of that. Okay? Something profound. But if you fail to recognize the shift, that all of a sudden I have found something, or God has done something that has put me on a different platform. So now, see how my perspective just changed? The sound may have changed a little bit just because I elevated 2 foot. Guys, I'm not saying that you got to wallow in the throne room constantly. I'm saying a lot of times these shifts are just a little bit. But when you recognize the thing, then, if Tyler was here, we could talk about snowboarding. Snowboarding is all about subtle weight shifts. If you're snowboarding, it's heel-toe. You're constantly working heel-toe and a little bit of this as you work the mountain and are doing this going down the mountain. And when I first learned to snowboard, where I would screw up was I would over-exaggerate weight shifts. And that's why you do toe picks and face plants and catch the back of your head and all that stuff. Amen, Scott? You know what we're talking about. And what we have to realize is these shifts that God does do not have to be this huge drastic thing. It can be a slight thing, but it totally changes the course and direction of everything that's taking place. And so I want us to recognize this. Let's look in verse 13. Let's get into some word here. This is the baptism of Jesus. Then John, just to lay this out here, John the Baptist is in the wilderness. He's been baptizing. All these people are coming out for a baptism of repentance. You know, thousands upon thousands of people. Some scholars say as many as 20,000 people at a time would come out to hear John preach and be baptized. I don't know where they're pulling all this historical data, but a lot of scholars that have done, you know, all of the ancient writings and all of this stuff, and these huge crowds were coming out to John. And so, in verse 13 it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." I'm just going to read the first 7 of these 17 through 17, and then we're going to come back and hit these things. "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I've several observations in this that I think we need to pull from. The first thing that I want to talk about that we see in verse 13 is the fact that Jesus was very intentional in his response to the Father's invitation. The fact that Jesus left Galilee and went to the Jordan River at this time. John had been doing this for a while, guys. This wasn't the first week that John started preaching. John had been doing this for a while. He had gathered disciples that followed him, much like the disciples of Christ. Some of Jesus' disciples were actually disciples of John before they were disciples of Jesus. They just came in and they realized that John was to get me to Jesus, and they had the sense enough and the awareness of a shift to say, you know what, you got me here, but now I'm following this cat because he's the one you've been pointing to. And so John's been doing this a while, and all of these people are coming out. And then one day, what made Jesus decide to go and get baptized at that point in time? What triggered it? It was an invitation from the Father. There was something inside him, something that heaven drew, and Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me unless the Father draws him." The thing that drew Jesus to go out and be baptized, when he went to be baptized, he didn't hit a magic numerical number and say, "Okay, today's my birthday. I turned 30 today. I'm going to go out here." He was 30, but it wasn't just it was an invitation from the Father. If you fail to recognize invitations, you won't even have the opportunity to say yes to invitations. You're in default before you even get started. And so Jesus recognized an invitation from the Father to come and to be baptized. Because everything was about to shift in Jesus' life. What was Jesus up to this point? A carpenter. He had not started his public ministry. He had not performed miracles. He had not done any of these things. Everything was about to shift, and everything was about to change from him being the son of Mary, raised by Joseph, an apprentice in the carpenter trade, learning the trade, being faithful. He was without sin. Man, he did it right. Yes, he was the Son of God through the Holy Spirit impregnating Mary. But he was coming up in this journey and this 33-year walk here on earth. And up to this point, it had been a place of training and obscurity. And then everything was about to shift. He was about to have his coming out party, if you will. This was about to be his coming out party. You know how he got to that point? He said yes to an invitation. He recognized an invitation and said, you know what, it's time. And he said yes to that invitation. When the Father drew him and said, okay, now I want you to go from Galilee and I want you to go to Jordan. The thing that I wrote about this was Jesus was very intentional in that. If you're not intentional about your faith, heck, if you're not intentional about life, you're going to wander around and flounder your whole life. What's your career, brother? Geologist, right? You kind of, yeah. But that's what you studied in school, all of those things. All right? You had to be intentional about that. You didn't go to college wherever you went to school. I'm not sure where you graduated. You didn't go to college and major in French, did you? You were intentional. This is a field that I think is interesting and I would like to get into. And so you got a degree in that field because you were intentional. We get intentional about things in the natural, but we fail to recognize we've got to be intentional about being spiritual. We've got to be intentional in our faith. We've got to be intentional about being disciples. We've got to be intentional about experiencing God moving in a amazing way in our life. It is not going to just come and drop in your lap, guys. And what we're about to see right here, you're not going to get all of it simply by being in a church that is experiencing revival. You'll get some residual. You'll get some spillage. My grandkids are getting that right now. Man, they're getting overflow from our life and overflow from their parents right now. And it's good. But it's not going to be enough. And we come in and we think if I'm just around something and I'm intentional just enough to be around something, I can walk by a good restaurant and I can smell the food and be in proximity, but ain't none of it touching my intestines. It will not feed me and it will not change me. Okay? The whole purpose of feeding, I know Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep, but I don't know if it's our mindset or what. We way too hung up on it. I just want to get fed. I just want to get fed. I just want to get fed. I want to get you to fall in love. I'm more concerned about you falling in love with Jesus than I am feeding you. Because I know a lot of people I have fed and fed and fed and fed, and they have tasted and they have experienced God, but they have not fallen into deep covenant relationship with Him, and they're not even serving the Lord anymore. And if they are, they're very marginal in their faith. So we've got to progress beyond that. You know, when me and Lori first got married, she couldn't cook. I wasn't worried about getting fed. I just wanted to be with her. You know, I'm serious. I've never heard anybody 2 months into marriage complaining about the food. I've never talked to a new... When Nick and Jamie got married, it was not a thing of, hey, dude, how's Jamie's cooking? You know, he's still got that glazed over studly look right there. You know, I'm just in love, and man, I get to be intimate with this woman and all of that stuff, you know. Excuse my... I tell people, I said, you ought to be able to live off sex for the first 6 months. Amen? I don't care if I lose 22 pounds. And we laugh, but we get it. But our intimacy, Jacob, our intimacy with God's not that much different. I just want to be intimate with Him. I just want to come into that place with Him. Everything else will get there. But if we don't first and foremost make this shift of saying yes to invitation, and He is more concerned about relationship than He is anything else, And that's the most awesome thing about Him. Is He desires relationship over you, with you, over servanthood from you. He said, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends. Then that transitions to brethren. And we know that transitions to bride. And that trumps all of it. The lady that usually sits right here, she trumps everybody in here. You know why? Because it's transitioned from, we've been friends a long time, but she's my bride. And so that's what the Father's drawing us into. So I see this, and Jesus is very, very intentional in His response to the Father's invitation. You've got to start being intentional, guys. Because we got to start going after this thing and saying, you know what? I'm going to be intentional about my faith. I'm going to be intentional about seeking Him. I'm going to be intentional about listening for Him. I'm going to be intentional about every aspect of kingdom life. I want to be intentional. I went and picked Jen up from the airport Monday night, and I was standing in the waiting for, you know, where you come up the escalators and you wait for people behind the little rope thing and all that with the taxi drivers and all, or the chauffeurs, you know, and I was standing there waiting for Jen and Emily and all of that stuff. And I'm standing there and I'm saying, God, give me a word for somebody. And everybody that's walking by, I was looking, and I was like, okay. I'm serious, Beth. I was like, give me a word for somebody. He had me pray for a couple people, but I didn't get a specific word for somebody. But I was intentional in looking for that. And God's going to start doing stuff like that. More so, but we have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional when we come in here Wednesday night that I'm going to engage God and I'm going to encounter God and I'm going to believe God for great things. We have to be intentional about Sunday morning that I'm going to come in and I'm going to engage God and I'm going to encounter God. I'm already sitting here saying, God, man, I just, you know, what do you want to breathe on during worship? What do you want to breathe on? What's carrying your breath and your weight right now? And it's all about us being intentional, okay? A lot of you guys fail in life because you're not intentional in life. How many times have you seen somebody and they're a 30-something year old and they just have no semblance of a career, they have no direction, they're just kind of floating along, and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish they would grow up. Does the Father have that same response toward us when He looks at us in our spiritual life? We'll kind of give them a pass until they get out of high school, won't we? You know what we'll say? We'll say they got plenty of time to figure this out. Every time we get around, Bruce and Jennifer have four daughters, and every time we get around them, you know, we come in and we kind of grill each other's kids. You know, we'll sit down and we'll be like, okay, so what's happening in your life right now? What's God saying to you right now? What's God doing in your life right now? What's your plan for your life moving forward and all that? I mean, we just, you know, we're kind of rough with them and all that. But it provokes thought and it draws things out of them. And we start doing that when they reach a certain age. But here we are, 50-year-old men and 50-year-old women, and we just, I think the Word talks about that, is we just kind of float along and we're aimless and we're unintentional in our faith. And we're easily swayed and we're easily offended and we have no purpose and all of that stuff. Jesus was extremely intentional. All right, I've got to go. He traveled from Galilee to Jordan with the purpose of being baptized. Why did he go? To see what was happening? No, he went with the intention, I am going, and I'm going to get baptized. Because the Father's put in my spirit, that's what I'm supposed to do. He's put in my spirit, I am going with the intention that I am going to be. Jeffrey, you went and spent 2 days in South Carolina last month. Did you get blessed? You know why you got blessed? You went with the intention that I'm going to go and I'm going to receive from God. You went with the purpose of a purpose. And you said, I am going to go, and I'm going to receive from Him, and I'm going to engage Him. That was the whole power of the L.A. conference that we went to. We had 3 days out there in just the middle of God's presence, but there were 7,000 people that flew in from all around the world, and every one of them flew in from around the world and said, I have come to this place to engage my Father. And when that happened, you know what? It blew up. And if we do that Sunday morning, you know what will happen in here? The weight will be so thick in here, we won't be able to function. I'll just be curled up in a fetal position on the stage. when we come in with that kind of intention. Jesus went with the intention that I am going for this. We've got to be like that with witnessing to people, guys. Led by the Spirit, but with the intention. You know what? You went with the intention, Lisa, that some of your kids, some of your girls that did not know Jesus were going to get saved. You went more for, and I don't know if the FCA can't be able to say a leadership type thing or all that stuff. We hadn't really talked about all the details. I'm just always excited some of your kids get saved. But your focus was, we're going to go, and there's going to be some lives get changed out of this. That's why you keep going every year, you know. That's why you do that. That's why we do that in BBS, because we are very, very intentional about this. Jesus was extremely intentional. Carolyn, do you have something you'll throw up?
With your whole heart.
Yes.
Which says it all. That means not just a little bit, not in a lame way, but with your whole heart. I'll be found. You'll find me.
Yes.
You'll find me on Sunday morning in worship. You'll find me in the middle of the night if you wake up and you say, God, I just want to hear your voice. Just coming to church tonight, I was going to put in a preaching tape or listen to music, and I just turned it off, and I said, God, I just want to hear your voice. I don't want to hear what anybody else has to say about you to me right now.
Right.
I want to hear what you have to say to me in this moment. And he wants us to, I mean, he wants us to ask him, because he wants to speak to us right now.
He desires that. He so desires that. All right, let's move on. Something very important right here. I want you to think about Jesus' journey that he took right here. He went from Galilee to the Jordan. I didn't take the time this afternoon to study mileage on that, but he went from Galilee to Jordan. But here's the thing about this thing, is he went to a place where somebody that was less than him was doing something, and he still went and yielded to that. Something that was smaller than him. Hear me on this. It was smaller than him, and he went anyway and said yes to it. God's invitation is not always going to be the most comfortable or the most convenient. I mean, this thing was awkward between him and John. They were cousins. They knew each other. He comes up, and John's baptizing all these people, and Jesus walks up, and John's probably sitting there thinking, man, you want to start baptizing some folks? I'll back off and let you do this thing, because I know who you are. Because I was in my mama's womb, and you walked up, and I started leaping just at your presence. I know who you are. And I'll back off, and I'll let you do this. And so you got this awkward moment here where Jesus comes up and he says, man, I need you to baptize me. And he says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. John already made the declaration that there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to latch or to loosen. And he comes up and Jesus says, I need you to baptize me. And so it's awkward for John. It's humbling for Jesus. And God's invitations, we will say yes to them as long as they are convenient and as long as they're comfortable. One thing I found about God's invitations is usually they are not convenient, nor are they comfortable. Some of y'all are going to totally miss a move of God because you're afraid what it's going to make you look like in front of other people. You'll miss it in worship. And you'll sit back there and you'll stiffen like that trout because you say, man, there ain't no way that I'm going to get down there and act like Robin House during worship. I personally love the way Robin worships. I'm a kind of a worshiping fool myself. I've never said, well, don't nobody think nothing. We might have some visitors here. Can I challenge some of you guys on something? I'm going to run out here on something. When you come, if you worship one way, and then all of a sudden you bring visitors, don't back off on your worship because you're worried they'll think you're weird. And you ain't even started getting weird yet, brother. You know it. You ain't even started getting weird. Just wait. Until he gets tumors. Until world systems fail him. Keep doing it, brother. The presence of God. Most people can't handle. Most people cannot. And guys, we're not weird. We're just barely Pentecostal. God wants to carry you to some places in intimacy. Every major move of God, you look at the manifestations, whether it's the Great Awakening, where you study what God did in the Presbyterian Church at the Great Awakening. In every one of them, there is stuff that the same thing that was happening in Toronto, and everybody said they're crazy. That's why their website's dedicated to against places like Bethel or IHOP or places like that. Because they say, man, it's crazy. Grant, you went out there. You went to the prayer room Friday night. You were in services on Sunday morning, you know. There'll be people come in. There'll be ladies come in with wedding dresses on, symbolizing I'm the bride of Christ. And they'll come to church in a wedding dress, you know. I'm serious. When Damon said they used to do when a season they were doing revivals down in Louisiana. You know, Cajun people are crazy anyway. Any of you guys Cajun? You Cajun? I love Cajun people, man. These guys come in. These guys were getting radically saved. And it's okay to go to a SEC football game and do this. You'll get on the camera and everybody say, "Woo, that's a dedicated fan right there." They coming into church with their shirts off and J painted on their chest and E painted on their chest and S and U and S painted on their chest. And they're down there worshiping and going crazy over Jesus because He did something great in their life. It's not always going to be comfortable what God asks us to do. God's kind of getting me on this thing. I'm about getting me up early in the morning. I'm like, man, God, I'm good at staying up late. Let's stay up late. He's like, 5 o'clock, come on. And I'm like, it's not always comfortable. The things that He might ask us to do. God's going to start, the worship team, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, God's going to start stretching you out of your box. Because God is going to start shifting us into a platform of prophetic worship. And it's going to be less about your talent and more about your sound. Y'all got amazing voices, but your amazing voice ain't going to change anybody. I don't mean ugly in that. I just said you had amazing voices. Celine Dion's got an amazing voice. Amen. Adele, however you say her name. Amazing voice. But what is more important than your voice is the sound that is released from you, Melinda. And He is going to shift our worship to where it is more of a cry and a prophetic declaration and a release than it is something that is talented. And we're talented. Y'all are talented. Y'all are good. Aesthetically, y'all are good. But the cry that comes from the rivers within you, that's what's going to set the captives free. It's not the fact that, whoa, man, they practiced that, man. They had every lick. I'm more concerned about your sound. I want you to be excellent, Nick, but I'm more concerned about your sound than I am your tempo. Come on, somebody. Because if it is not ushering in the presence, then what are we doing? We're carrying the kids to see Hillsong Tuesday night, the youth to see Hillsong Tuesday night. And I was talking to somebody, and I think me and Brett were talking about it. And I said, man, I hope it is a worship evening and not a concert evening, because I don't care a hill of beans about a concert evening. But I do care about a worship evening. And I hope we go over there, man, and you say, well, it's up to us and it's up to the people at Hillsong on what it is. Because it's about encountering. But it's not always convenient. And it's not always comfortable. You've got to get past some of this awkward stuff. You've got to get past some of this stuff. I'm worried. I'm going to tell you something, dude. Your reputation is not near as stellar as you think it is. Everybody in Bremen don't care how slick you are. All these people, I don't care if you've got 865 friends on Facebook, most of them will stab you in the back if they get a chance. Y'all ain't never had that happen to y'all? Most of them will betray you if it is convenient. All these people you trying to impress with all your stuff. God's going to get you out of your comfortable stuff. And He's going to get you a place of faith, of obedience, and total dependence on Him. He's going to say, me and you are going to run something here, and let's see how big your yes is. I know what your yes is to all your little cronies, but how big's your yes to me? How big's your yes to me?
Be more likely to answer somebody like that's prayers or somebody that's
a constipated Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy with the E on his chest. That's the one he's going. Because I look through the Bible and you know the ones that he talks about great faith. It's a woman that breaks a vase of ointment. It's a woman that washes his feet with her tears. It's a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, even though he calls her a dog, she refuses to say no because she said, I'm going to say yes no matter what you say. I'm going to keep saying yes until it shifts heaven. You know? That's what his mama did when she came to and said, they're out of wine. He's like, woman, my time ain't come yet. And she said, whatever he says, do it. And something shifted in that moment. I know exactly which one he's going to chest bump with. And I'm not saying we do that just because we're just to be weird. And I've known people that have done stuff like that just to draw attention and just to be weird. And God will shut that down and rebuke that in a heartbeat. So weird for weird's sake is not the answer. Y'all heard the story, I've told it on Mark Rutland many, many, many times, about when right after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right after he tried to commit suicide, and then he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was invited to preach in a large church in California. This was in the 80s, and he was standing on the platform and all that, and he said it was a mega church. And he said, man, they started up praise and worship. He said there was a dude down there about 6'6" and weighed about 140 pounds. He had a coat looked like you hung it on a scarecrow. He said when the worship started, he said this cat started hovering around, running around that place like a 747. And he's sitting there, he's saying, God, do I have to do that? He said, I had this conversation with God. And said, God, do I have to do that? And God said, no, but do you love me like He loves me? And he said, as soon as God said, no, but do you love me like He loves me? The pastor leaned over and said, see that guy running? He just escaped from behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. And that was when the Iron Curtain was the Iron Curtain. He is raised in common. You could look at him and tell. And he said, that guy's set free. He's set free. He said, when he was pastoring at Calvary Chapel in Orlando, he said, we used to have a guy, and he was a full-blooded Seminole in our church. And he said, every time we would get ready to do the offering, he said he would let out a war cry. Sounded like a war cry. But it was one of these like, and he was so excited that he could sow into the kingdom. He who is forgiven much loveth much. So what's our response to these things? It's not always going to be comfortable, and it's usually not going to be comfortable, and it's usually not going to be convenient. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Linda, you going to throw something out right there?
I was going to say, talking about us looking weird and all that, Paul and Silas. I mean, they're chained up and they're in prison at midnight and they're singing praises. And, if they were worried about how they looked, what would they have missed out on?
Yes.
I mean, look what happened. They had joy. That early church, those disciples, they had joy nobody could steal.
Right.
Nobody could take their joy. And that's, we've got to get to that place. This is a joy. This is a river. This is a river, and it flows, and there's nothing that can take that joy. And we don't need to contain it. We don't need to contain it. We don't need to look like the constipated person over here that with no hope, because we have a hope, and we have been forgiven much. And we better not hide our joy. And no, it's not about show, but we better not hide our joy.
Amen.
We need to release that joy. The Amen. World needs to see the joy of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know why most of us are not witnesses for Jesus? You know why most of you are not soul winners? Because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable going up and talking to a stranger. It's uncomfortable, and you're afraid they're going to think you're some religious weirdo. Right? Grant, you've got turned down before. Grant witnesses probably more than anybody in here. You got turned down many, many times. You get more turned down more than you get accepted when you're witnessing to people. But you have. But here's the thing. You're still standing here. I hadn't seen anybody decapitate you because you told them about Jesus. Not yet. I know you're going to the Middle East in a few months. But you see what I'm saying? What's the worst that can happen to us? Somebody that I'm never going to see again? Or maybe I'll see them every week at line at the school, but because I tried to tell them about something that changed my life and I'm worried they're going to reject that and they might defriend me on Facebook.
Do stuff that was just stupid so many times. But wouldn't you rather feel stupid because you witnessed to something about Jesus? So what? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him,
yes,
and the Father. But I don't know about y'all, but there's not a day goes by that I don't say or do something that I feel stupid. But if I'm gonna, my goodness, open your mouth and proclaim Christ and His love and the gift of salvation and the promises. To brag on the Father. If you don't know how to go up and just testify about Christ, tell Him, just say, can I tell you how good God is and what He did? And just open the door that way. And it's just, you can draw them in. And if you're in a position, if you work somewhere where you're going to see people constantly, they'll come back. And you'll have a chance to keep pouring into people.
Yes.
But, open your mouth because, He's right here with us and He'll pour out. That's why if we'll listen to the Father, He's going to give us the words to say anyway.
Yes, amen.
He's going to put that person in our path and He's already been to that person. He's prepared the way for us to open our mouth and start sowing seeds. And it might just be patting somebody on the arm and saying, how are you today? Just, He'll give us the words if we'll just put ourselves in that position. And move. That's what He called us to be the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. And it's not always complicated. And I've got to get back on track so I can finish up here. But a lot of times it is simply showing somebody that I care and that I love them. Lori has got an amazing dialogue with two little girls that come over here and sit every Sunday morning. They text her. They text back and forth all the time. And she has got an amazing dialogue with these little girls right now. And you know why? Because they know she cares. If there's a person in this church that they know she cares. And it hadn't been some amazing formula in rocket science. It's just saying yes and being available. So, all right, let me run with this.
Even the people that reject you or reject Him, a lot of times, but that's just a seed. I can remember so many times in college I remember at the beach one time, girls coming up, and I was with two other friends, they're sharing about Jesus. Well, I grew up knowing God, and even though I'm, being cool and, no, I don't need that, to this day, I remember that. I remember a kid on Georgia Tech campus, a guy coming up, witnessing. 25 years later, I remember that. So, it doesn't go out void.
Right.
I
mean, amen.
God's always working behind the scenes.
Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. God's invitation is not always comfortable or convenient. Jesus went to Jordan to be baptized of John. John, the guy out there eating locust and honey, dressed in camel hair, and he's sitting there, and that's who Jesus went to and said, I want you to baptize me. I want you to baptize me. They both knew Jesus was greater, but He humbled Himself. Jesus humbled Himself, and John humbled himself. Just realize, dude, who the invitation is coming from. We lose the fact that the host of the invitation is the most, who it is. We stop being mesmerized by the host. And we start asking what's for dinner. If the right host asks you, extends an invitation for you. When Jen said, hey, I want to come hang out with y'all for a week. I'm going to fly out and all that stuff. She didn't ask where are we going to eat or what's Sid cooking. Or what's Lori cooking. She didn't care. We could eat PBJ all week and it'd been grand, wouldn't it? But we stop being mesmerized by the person offering the invitation and we start asking, what are we going to eat? And if it's not, I'm really not into that right now. Thanks, but I'll catch you on the next go around. That's really not my thing. You lost sight of who was extending the invitation. All right, let's look. This is important. Everybody listen to this. If we only do what is comfortable to us and convenient, we will never live in open heavens this side of eternity. Listen to this. If we only do what is comfortable to us and convenient to us, we will never, and I've got that underlined, we will never live in open heavens this side of eternity. You can be saved. I'll see you in heaven. But you know what? There are things that I will see here on earth. There are things I will hear on earth. There are things that I will experience on earth. And you will not see them. You won't hear them. You won't experience them until you get to eternity. You'll get to experience this stuff. You'll get to experience the whispers when you get to heaven. You say, brother, that's good enough for me. So you're giving up on a world that needs all the Jesus that you can release into them. That's what you're saying. You just said that I'm narcissistic and I'm okay living my life because I know I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus and what's 40 years. So let me do my thing for 40 years, not be uncomfortable, not be put out or anything like that, not any of these things. Right? You just told me how narcissistic you were. Brother, that's not my personality. I know it's not you, but it's his. It's his. You say, that's not me. What did God say he was going to do in the book of Revelation? What did he say? He said, I am going to rebuild the tent of David. He didn't say I'm going to rebuild Solomon's temple in its grandeur. David had a tent out there on a porch, but it had the presence of God in it 24/7. And he said, if I can just get this into Jerusalem, it's going to change everything. How did he describe David? Man after my own heart. It's not, that ain't my personality. It's his. It's his. It is his. Intimacy is his. Relationship is his. Passion is his. Worship is his. That's his heart. When Jesus, verses 16 and 17, when Jesus said yes to the invitation of the Father, something new happened. He saw something new and he heard something new. Let's look at this. Very important. What time is it, somebody? Please tell me I got 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes. Thank you. Verse 16, everybody look at this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened. What does it say next? What does it say? Unto who? The heavens were opened to him. Were the heavens open to everybody? Doesn't say that. Said it was open unto him. What do you want right now in life? What do you want in your faith journey? What do you want to experience? What do you want to see? What level of intimacy do you want to walk? What do you want to hear, Randy? How do you want to be used by God? How do you want to know God? Is it with a veil? How many of y'all have looked at, and I'm not hating on cultures, but how many of y'all have looked at the Muslim culture with the, and I don't know, Grant could tell us about all the different clothing and all of that stuff, and these girls, and they, you know, the only thing that's open is their eyes and all of that stuff, and I've looked at that, and I've said, dude, I'd have a hard time marrying some chick. I ain't never seen nothing but her eyes. Would you not, Jeremy Crane? I mean, this chick, I mean, there ain't no telling what you're getting. Think about it. Think about it. But yet that's all we want to see with God. We want Him veiled. I'll find out when I get to heaven. Everybody tells me how wonderful He is. Don't you want to experience that? Do you want to live your life vicariously through me or anybody else? Talk about amazing intimacy and amazing relationship and amazing dialogue and feeling. I don't want to just say. It said the heavens were opened unto who? Jesus. So that tells me we can come in here, Robert, and you can get something and nobody else get it because of where you are. Right now, a lot of people are getting stuff in this house, and a lot of people are not getting stuff in this house. And people are coming in and getting whacked out by God. And other people are sitting back there and being like, what's the big deal? Some of y'all wondering why I'm so excited the last 6 months, last year, last 3 years. Dang, what's the big deal? It's like those goofy little Harley t-shirts. If I had to explain it, you wouldn't understand. You know, if I see another one, I'll see 5,000 of them in a few weeks. But you know what they're trying to say? You know, have you ever been in somebody and it's like, they just don't get it. Even kids say that. They just don't. Heavens were opened unto Jesus because of His yes, because of His. See, this was a shift. Something happened right here that was not available 24 hours earlier. This was a point in time that heavens opened up for Jesus. That's where we're living right now. That's the opportunity we have right now, bro. We have that opportunity, but we've got to recognize the shifts. Real quickly, the next thing I saw, he said, brother, you took 5 minutes on that. I'm three, come on. All right? The heavens were open to him. What does it say next? And who saw? He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus visibly saw. The heavens opened up unto him. He visibly saw the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove and resting upon him. He saw that. Did anybody else see that? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Y'all remember when the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus? He got knocked off the horse. The great blazing light, he saw Jesus. Jesus said, or you know, he didn't know who it was to start with, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? And Saul says, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The other guys were sitting out there saying, man, there was some crazy phenomena going on. But they didn't hear Jesus saying, or Saul. They just heard noise. These shifts will cause us to hear stuff we've never heard before. They'll cause us to hear stuff we've never heard before. How many of you want to hear stuff you've never heard before? I do. And I'm not talking about it from a mystical standpoint. I'm talking about from a kingdom standpoint. I want to see the heavens open up to me. I want to hear stuff I've never heard before. I want to hear the Father's voice with such clarity. I want to hear the whispers. I want to hear the whispers. I want to hear His dreams. Have y'all ever been laying there and heard your spouse dreaming and you lean in a little bit closer and you know, you'll hear them talking in a dream? You know, sometimes the Lord will do that and I would kind of lean. I said, what's he saying? Curious, find out all her deep secrets, right? Don't you want to hear the Father's dreams about you? About your four daughters? I know what Bruce and Jennifer's dreams are, but what about God's dreams? Because a lot of times His far exceed. They're not as comfortable. They're not as convenient. But they far exceed. Jesus heard something, or saw something, excuse me. He saw something He had not seen before. He saw. You say, He saw that in heaven. Not descending on Him in human form, He didn't. He saw it in heaven in its glorious state. But He didn't see it descending on Him as man walking in obedience. Woo! You know what that tells me? I can see it. It was a different perspective. He was looking at it from an earthly perspective instead of a heavenly perspective. And you need to get into a place where you see heaven from an earthly perspective. Because that's when you're going to change the world around you. And for far too long, the church has wanted to see heaven from a heavenly perspective. And we've done it with an escapist mentality that said, beam me up, God, rapture us out of this mess, because this world's going to hell in a handbasket. And let me just go sit around with you on a cloud and enjoy eternity. And God said, I have opened heaven and released the Holy Spirit and given you a mandate to change the world. So our perspective needs to be, I am planted on this earth. Full of the Spirit of the Most High God with a mandate to change everything around me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus saw something from a different perspective that he had never seen before. And then lastly, it said there was a voice that came from heaven. It said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And you know what that was? That was the Father's blessing. That was the... Yes. Yes. The Father, listen to me, this is important, guys. The Father withheld that blessing until that moment. And there are blessings from the Father that are being withheld until you come into a moment and say yes to that moment and are obedient to that moment. How long have you been ordained? Been a minute, hadn't it? Been a few years, hadn't it? You've been in reserve until this day. I know you performed some weddings and you've done some stuff like that, but your platform has changed. It is obvious for anybody in here that's got a half an ounce of spiritual insight to them. And God had you in a place of whatever you want to call it. But that special reserve, let's get talking about a special reserve. And God brings that thing out. Okay? And he says, "Now, I am putting a different..." You go buy a bottle of wine, you can buy Robert Mondavi, which is a vineyard in Napa. You can go buy their regular wine, but if you start buying the special reserve, it costs more. Because it is a limit. And we think God's going to make this blessing of a father. But there are times and there are moments. There are milestones in your son's lives. And at those milestones in your son's lives, they receive a blessing from a father. It might be when you pitch them the car keys for the first time and say, "Be home by 11:30. That might be that time. It might be when you entrust them with something. It was when you gave Isaac a gun and said, "Be safe, I'll see you later," and you sent him off to the woods by himself. That was a different blessing of a father, was it not? And I guarantee you, when he went and sat in the woods, he felt like more of a man in that moment than he did the day before. I guarantee you he did, because I felt that myself in my life. And our Heavenly Father does the same thing. We say yes to invitations and we come into places and it is unique moments in our life and unique times in which we are living in right now. There is a blessing of the Father that is going to be put on us and it is going to catapult us. It is going to shift us. It is going to propel. It propelled Jesus into 40 days of the wilderness. But those 40 days of the wilderness were direct confrontation with the devil that he was not ready for until that moment. Until the moment of humility, until the moment of obedience, until the moment of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, until the moment of the declaration, because the devil came to him immediately after that 40 days and came in and said, "If you are the Son of God," and he said, "I know I'm the Son of God because I heard my daddy's voice. I felt my daddy's hand on my head." Sorry, Jamie. "Felt my daddy's hand on my head saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" That's a blessing of the Father. Some of y'all ain't going to get that till you get to heaven. You're right, Ann. He wants to speak to everybody. Wait a minute. He does speak to everybody, but we don't have ears to hear. We don't have ears to hear. And I've been that guy before. All of us have. To where I'm listening to other stuff. You know. As a man, I'm bad about that. I'll be watching the Lord be trying to talk to me, and she's like, "Did you hear anything I said?" "Yeah, baby, I heard everything right over ESPN." Because we don't have ears to hear. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to finish this Sunday. I'm sorry, I ran over. I could really teach for 2 more hours. We might do so Sunday. The blessing of the Father. Y'all see how that built for that? Didn't that build? Go home and study. This is some powerful stuff right here. God been whacking me out on this week. I mean, just messed up on this. But all this comes in and it culminates in this shifting and this different perspective, this different platform, this different proximity, and it comes in all of this and it builds to a place where the Father says, Here's the blessing of a Father on you. Here's the blessing of a Father on you. And in that, propel Jesus into what's new. Not what's next. It propelled Jesus into what's new. And then all of a sudden, miracles started happening. And kingdoms started being released. And culture started being changed. And then there was a cross. And then there was an empty tomb. And then there was a resurrection. And then there was a church. And it all started with the blessing of a Father. It's that new platform. A new day. A new time. A new season. I don't believe in seasons, but you know what I'm saying. I say that just so you understand. If you want more, it is available to you. Here's our altar call. Go ahead, Matt. Start it just real low. Here's our altar call. If you want more, it's available to you. The cool thing about this is it's not just set aside for special. It's set aside for the whosoever. The whosoever's. And if you want it, dude, you can walk in it. You can receive it. God can speak to you. You can have intimacy in the relationship and the fellowship and be used and release kingdom and all of this amazing stuff. Peace that passes, and I can go on and on and on and on. All of these things, it's available for you. If you don't want to wait till you get to heaven to walk in that, then choose it for now. Because it's available. Say yes to now. That's the altar call tonight. Will you say yes to now? Will you say yes to now? Father, we come to you. We thank you for this evening. I thank you for the word.